Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. Coming right up, it is the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. Now, I just did an introduction video in Habakkuk chapter 3 because of the key word there, and that key word is Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1, Shigayanoth. And so we ran that thread through the Bible, and it took us to Psalms chapter 7. And we did that, woe unto those with child to give suck in those days. We're just seeing the people involved in this system of things that Habakkuk is warning us about. He's not talking about a sovereign government in particular, but the capitalist corporocracy, a fascist capitalist corporocracy that's basically rich white men have set up with their lobby. We're identifying all these people and the people that play into it in this book of Habakkuk. Just blew me away. I'm telling you, I did the book of Habakkuk before a long time ago, and I didn't see the capitalist corporocracy out there because I did it about 20 years ago. And now this book just nails it. What is going on the world stage today? The faith of people to keep this book, to keep this Bible from generation to generation and teach it and tell your children about it. And now it's easier for us to understand than ever before because we can see it playing out on the world stage today. And that's the book of Habakkuk. Now, what a man profiteth if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul is what we're talking about here. There's nothing more important than where you go when you die. Matthew 16, 26, obviously. Let's get into Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 1. We'll go over some key words here. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shinigoth. Now, we just did a video about Shinigoth, and there's no reason it should be capitalized. It just means a crying out loud of something important. It's the same beginning as Psalms chapter 7. So we just went to Psalms chapter 7 and went over the basic subject matter there. That was important to watch that video before this one. Okay, so here's a prayer of Habakkuk. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. That's a great little prayer to start off with. This word afraid is yara in the Hebrew. We know this word. It's fear or revere. Like if you're in good with your father, if you're obeying God, if you submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender your entire existence willingly over to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're trying your best, you're not afraid of God. But if you're willingly disobedient, you're going to be you should be afraid of God. Because it's not going to be too nice where he sends you. Everybody's going somewhere when they die. There's going to be a great separation of people. Anyways, this is what this says. This means here, Habakkuk heard God. He's in awe. He's in reverence. Is why she just said that right off the hop. That's what he is. I'm in reverence. I heard you. I'm in reverence. I'm in awe. And from this word here, revive all the way to the word mercy. What we're talking about here, like God has a plan to rid the world of evil. It has to play itself out in full measure as it's written. That's how he's getting rid of the world of evil. That's why he doesn't come down here. People think, there can't be a God if he's allowing all this to happen on planet Earth today. Well, God's not running a daycare here. It's who plays into it. You write your own sentence where you go when you die. You can't walk with God while you're still holding the devil's hand. So what happens here? God, we think about what happened before as we read the Bible, these historical events. And we see like God had God not repelled a group of people by the might of another that he was behind, corruption would have dominated the earth and there would be no salvation for us. God is the God of the living. He's gracious to all. And that's why he did those things. Now, that's what he said. I got to plant the seeds of truth throughout the world. That's Israel's job, which was the 10 tribes that he scattered. And we went through that in the last chapter. So that everybody has a chance. And the people that are oppressed by rich white people or rich people that are oppressed by governmental systems and don't have a chance, God is fair. He'll judge each case on its own merits. But the people that do have a chance, the overfed, the unconcerned, ungrateful, unthankful, complainers, don't worry about it. You get to go where you deserve to go. So remember, so he's just saying, in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, that just means the south. And the Holy One from the Mount of Paran, Selah here, you know what Selah means from the Psalms. We've gone over the Psalms several times together. Pause, think. This is a thought link. So what we're doing here is we're connecting his coming forth with his glorious effects of it. Okay, his glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. Go back just to 2:14 there. Thou art 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and as waters cover the sea. It's available to everybody now, except some people that are just so oppressed by governmental tyranny and the oppression that money is causing around the world through attitudes of obscene entitlement fueled by ruthless, unadulterated greed. People sitting back with these investment portfolios who think progress, profit, consumerism, materialism is ecologically even possible. They talk about global growth, global spending, global investment. It's all about you. It's all about you and your personal gain. And just remember this, how much Jesus Christ is against that. The threat through the Bible about giving to the rich for personal gain is major. It's major. Enjoy your money now because you can't take it with you. You know, God's word is out there. There's people like in North Korea. They don't get to hear God's word. God's going to be fair to these people. Obviously, their ticket's stamped into the kingdom of heaven, the millennium temple, so we can teach them. It's a priestly kingdom, and we become part of the structural fabric in that kingdom itself as it's written. Or you can go place somewhere else, the lake of fire. Lake just means harbor or haven. So you study from the manuscripts through the lexicons, and fire is the burning emotion, the internal passion of the mind that we read about in Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 9, James 3:6 tells us exactly what the fire of hell is. God's not having a barbecue, and you mainstream Christians that think that God's having a barbecue of human people are sick puppies. My God is not Stalin. My God's not a Hitler. My God loves us all, and he is just telling us that he's fair because God desires no injustice to his creations. The heathens desire another way than God's. God is fair. You can go place somewhere else. You don't like God, you don't want God in your life, then there's no praise or presence of God whatsoever, where the internal passion of the mind of all your ideologies can just run wild forever. Division, distrust, disorder, chaos. You can have it. You just love the drama. You just love always being right. You can never be corrected. You can go place somewhere else, and we pray for you. This is a time of correction right now. And his brightness was his light. He had horns coming out of his hands, and there was the hiding of his power. This is the coming of God's wrapping up the affairs of time on this flesh age. And this is the subject here that was the subject in Psalm 7. We're talking about how God's going to get rid of evil people. I don't want to say get rid of, because that sounds, God's not like that. He's just going to put them somewhere else where they want to be. He puts everybody where they want to be right from the heart. You can't fake it. God knows your thoughts, your intents, your actions. There's no faking it. There's no phonies in the kingdom of heaven. It's about sacrificing for each other. It's about loving each other. It's about being there for each other. Perpetual friendship. Like I said earlier, that's the etymology of the word Jerusalem. Okay, horns coming out of his hands. This is what we're going to talk about here, okay? We have the Bible. There's no such thing as an English Bible. There's no such thing as an English Quran. Okay, these are translations. So if you want to understand the Bible or understand the Quran, you have to go back to the original language manuscripts, which are right here. It's called the Masoretic Text. And that's what I study from the Masoretic Text through the lexicons. And you understand that the English language cannot encapsulate the sense, meaning, and full expression of the keywords. And those keywords, the etymology of the keywords, run threads through the Bible, not found in the English Bible, found in the original language manuscripts. And those threads form a glossary for interpretation and understanding. It's God's trademark stamp of validity. Is there a secret code in the Bible? It's a secret among friends, amongst me and you. It's found in the etymology of the keywords that form sentences and phrases for understanding and interpretation. It is those threads make up the structural fabric of the Key of David itself. You'll find the same figures of speech, idioms, metaphors running through the Bible with the etymology of these key words. It's not found in the English. The English is a translation, and a pretty, not even a good translation. This translation, this King James, okay, they didn't even have the Masoretic Text to go by, so it's, you have to be very careful. Horns coming out of the hands. This is why I went here. Do you think God has like a horn sticking out of his hand? It's the same when people read this and they get like Moses came down from Mount Sinai with like horns sticking out of his forehead. Okay, let's talk about this. Where do we get this? What's horns mean? Biblical usage and prophetic usage of this word horns means power that shines forth. And that we get that from the book of Daniel too, which I have a note that I'm going to read. And these are all my notes. I'm not a commentary bandit. And anyone can come. I've had people come and look through my Bible. So you can see these are all my notes that I've written personally from the manuscripts through the lexicons. Horns is Quran in the Hebrew. It's on page 668 of your Benjamin Davis lexicon. I'll give you everywhere that I study from. It's a symbol of strength and power as an image taken from a bull or another horned animal. Oh yeah, if you have a horned animal and you're in the same pasture, in the same fenced area, you better watch that power shining forth. It'll come at you and mess you up. Biblical usage, to lift one's horn means to exalt, to shine forth with power. When used of God, it is divine dignity. When used of man's construct, it means arrogance. To lift up one's horn means in self-pride. For example, in Psalm 75, remember Psalms 18, David calls God the horn of his salvation. Horn in prophetic language throughout the Bible means power that shines forth. Okay, Habakkuk 3:4. Horns out of God's hand. Power that shines forth. Beams, rays of light, as it's written. Strength that shines forth. Now, this is why you have to go back to the original language manuscripts, because you get artist depictions that are blasphemy. Hollywood portrayals and artist depictions, for example, Michelangelo's famous statue of Moses has two physical horns sticking out of Moses's forehead. Okay, that's just bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. Moses comes from Exodus chapter 34:29. Moses coming down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandment tablets, didn't know the skin on his face, Quran, there's that word, Quran, was shining, radiating from being in the presence of God. God's power was radiating forth from Moses' face. And because they go from by the Latin Bible, which is a translation to, which is where you get the word rapture, which is not in the Hebrew manuscripts or the Greek manuscripts, okay? You get these twisted versions. It's a translation. The Latin Vulgate of the Bible, the translators put the Latin word for horns and then painted pictures of Moses with literal horns coming out of his forehead. It's the same thing Hollywood today. God doesn't have like two horns coming out of his hands. And that's not what we're talking about. It's power shining forth. And it even says he restricts his power. Listen, he's the creator of the universe. God is an everlasting, eternal energy. Everlasting internal energy force. And we know that from Psalms chapter 90. But anyways, let's get back here to this power shining forth from the hands. And it says hiding of his power. It just means like he doesn't, it's not a full throttle. Here he comes. You can see the brightness of the light. Before him went pestilence and burning coals before his feet. What are we talking about here? This is what God, when God is wrapping up the affairs of time through Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Okay, Jesus Christ shows back up on the scene. He told us all things. He told about this. This pestilence is around the world. We get that from the book of pestilence comes from Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus Christ tells us all things in the fourth seal Trump file. Pestilence is a pandemic of, it's an infodemic. They control information through censorship and obsessive messaging to get people to have their religious authority changed away from God. It's propaganda to persuade public opinion. Agree, obey, comply, right? It's coercive persuasion and ideal inoculation. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is coming down to clean up. And burning coals went before his feet. And God's not having a barbecue here. Habakkuk 3:5. Burning coals is one word. It's reshef. It's an analogy of lightning flashing right before your eyes. It can't be ignored. And we know that. There's your glossary link into the book of Revelation. Thunders, lightnings. Thunderings just means it can't be ignored. Lightning's flashing you right around you. You can't ignore it. It's like a screen. And brimstone means it's flashing right in your face. Like, how can you not see this? Okay, God's not having these weather events here. He's not kicking hot coals in front of him and having pestilence, which in the Bible means an infodemic. They control information. You follow that thread through Matthew 24, through the seals, trumps, vials. and he stood and measured the earth. When did he do this? Revelation chapter 11, when he's about to wrap up the affairs of time on this flesh age. He's standing there with, he's given to me a reed, like a rod. So in the manuscripts, this rod is the scepter of imperial authority. God is taking roll call. We're ready to get a new millennium temple. This rod is for destruction. It's not for building. God is ready to destroy this ridiculous, beyond all reasonable, flesh age. He's measuring the earth, Revelation chapter 11. He beheld and drove asunder nations. Daniel chapter 4:17, how did he do that? He put the base people in charge of the nations. God is in control because evil has to come out to its full measure. And we see it playing out on the world stage today. That's how he drove asunder nations, and everlasting mountains were scattered. We're not talking about rock faces here. We're talking everlasting mountains as nations. That's empires. Empires were scattered. We've seen big empires come and go. The Babylonian Empire, the Ottoman Empire, you name it. The American Empire is on its way out. It's just a period of decadence right now. It's following the same pattern that we see before, the same pattern as the Roman Empire. Just a moral decay of society and then decadence. And that's what's happening. The rich are just taking everything they possibly can. They're looting the country. And the perpetual hills did bow. These are like little nations that have been around for a long time. Like we can say like little nations like Portugal or Spain or something like that. You know, like they're not really superpowers. They're just perpetual nations. Okay. His ways are everlasting. He's going to. God is telling us. These promises are written in the councils of eternity. He's not going to change. Okay. Every knee shall bow. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Now this, to understand this verse, we have to must translate, not transliterate. That's what they did here. Therefore, the verse reads, I saw the tents of darkness with affliction, draping the land with strife, making it tremble with violent emotion. What are we talking about here? Same thing as Isaiah chapter 5:30. It's dark times. Look out unto the land. It's dark times. Force seal Trump file. This infodemic is dark times. It escalates into the fifth, which we've already gone through. It's a dynasty of censorship. And now we're getting into the sixth, where they're going to control technology, and they're going to try and charge someone like me for thought crimes, because they say, hey, if you're teaching the Bible in Canada, you're walking the line of hate speech. They're calling this hate speech. Okay, so we're ready for it. They're passing a bill right now in Canadian Parliament for someone like me that won't sugarcoat the Bible no matter what, to put me in jail for life. So I'm just saying, like, dude, if you don't see me teaching this anymore, it's either I have no money because no one supported it, or I'm in jail somewhere. And if you can find me in jail, send me some canteen money, because I did my best. I washed my hands of everybody's blood. I'm trying my best. I'm spending all my time studying and trying to, praying to God, help me understand. I'm praying for wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, strength. That's the only things I'm praying for one reason only. Not for my recognition, but for God's recognition, for Lord Jesus Christ's recognition as our Savior, our salvation, our deliverer, our Redeemer. All reverence belongeth to the Lord Jesus Christ, and through Lord Jesus Christ the Father. Okay, this is God is in control here. So he's saying, I looked over into the land, and it was dark times. Cushan is blackness, and Midian is strifes. And we know Abe and Keturah had Midian, and we can read about the strife in Genesis chapter 16:12. Anyways, don't take that out of context either. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was I anger against the rivers? Are you kidding? This is the third Trump seal Trump files. Do you think God's standing there, you know, looking at a river going, I just can't handle, I can't live like this, the way it's meandering. He's not talking about a river. We're talking about the rivers, we're talking about the flow of people, the flow of merchandise, the flow of traffic, the flow of humanity, what they're doing to their fountains of activity. And we read about this in not only Revelation chapter 8, verse 10, when we got the third seal Trump file, and we're talking about fountains of activity. Waters are people's tongues, nations, multitude. The glossary for that is Revelation chapter 17. And we're talking about the economy here and what it does to people. Chasing money and what it does to people. And we also have fountains of activity. Our promised place to go. Isn't this just the greatest thing? Revelation chapter 21. When he says it is done. He says it is done three times in the Bible. our Lord Jesus Christ. John 19, okay? Death has been defeated. The doors of the ministry of salvation are open because Satan, you got nothing on me, all right? I took the lowest earthly position for the whole human family, innocent, not guilty. I walked into a torture chamber, maximum torture, maximum pain, maximum humiliation, lowest earthly position. So no one could ever say to me, Jesus Christ is saying, you don't know what it's like. He lived it. Satan hyper-focused temptation and sin on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can say, Satan, you got nothing on me? I did not sin. No guile, no malice, no corruption was found in me. When my blood spilt, that was a universal covenant that was universally recognized that gave the Lord Jesus Christ the universal right to set up the kingdom of heaven, which is the millennium temple. That is valid. It is legit. It is bona fide. And it will not accommodate evil. It will not make concessions for evil. That's people's evil ideologies. People's ideologies thinking they know better than God, thinking they know better than the Lord Jesus Christ. It will not negotiate with your ideologies. When people say to me, oh boy, there's some things in here that I just do not like, and I'm going to, when I see the Lord Jesus Christ, oh boy, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to be taking some of these pages out and some of my writings going in here, because you think you're all that and a bag of chips. You're phenomenal. Actually, you're a phenomenon. You're an object of your own perception. And I pray for everybody that thinks that they know better than God. You have to submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, surrender your entire existence over the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray, please cleanse me of everything that is offensive to you and your kingdom. Please saturate me with your Holy Spirit. I want your love in my heart, my Lord Jesus Christ. This is open to you. Please cover me in your veil, wrap me in your vesture. Please hold my hand, my Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Your ideologies, you know best, you are God. Jesus Christ said, it is done. Death has been defeated, the doors of the ministry of salvation are open. John chapter 19, verse 30. For whomsoever will. If you don't want to go through that ministry of salvation, if you don't recognize Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Deliverer, your Redeemer, He paid a price for you you could never pay. He laid down His life for you. It's just overwhelming to me to think, like I'm celebrating Passover today because I count 15 days after the spring equinox. That's just the way I do it. And just to think what He did for me, not on the 15th day, but on the 14th day. He laid down His perfect, precious life for my white trash sinner life. It just blows me away. I'm so ashamed of myself to the point of self-mortification. The most precious life in the universe, first and foremost importance in the universe, irreplaceable, as it's written, Psalms chapter 22, Psalms 35, irreplaceable, perfect in righteousness, perfect in trustworthiness. The Lord Jesus Christ is the author of salvation, the author of eternal salvation. He is the living word. He is the perfect truth. And the truth is the great separating force between right and wrong, good and evil, and heaven and hell. And if you think you know better than the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't come here. When He said, now don't forget, He said it is done also when Jesus Christ wraps up the affairs of time on this flesh age. That's the millennium temple is open, Revelation 16, 17. And then here in Revelation 21, this is the greatest thing. And He said unto me, it is done. There it is. It is done. It is done. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It is done. There's a great separation of people. I will give unto him, that's whosoever will, that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. The key here is in this word life. It means life in activity, zoe. That is the fountain of activity that you want to end up to in the living waters. We are the people's tongues, nations, multitudes. And here we go. The Lord is displeased with the rivers. What river are you following? What the flow? What is the flow of your life? That's what is being said here. The wrath was against the sea. Remember Revelation 17, 15. Waters of people's tongues, nations, multitudes. There's your glossary for understanding. God's not mad at the Atlantic Ocean. He's not standing there watching the ocean go, oh, this is just displeasing me. It's just bizarre. There's a huge glossary in here that helps us. And thou didst ride upon thy horses. That's mobile power. God's not riding some barnyard animal. And thy chariot, it's chariot of salvation. You know this word salvation? Yeshua. Chariot of salvation. Here we go. My righteous right arm. What more could I do? I gave my only begotten son, a very piece of my darling soul. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yaqid in the Hebrew. only one, solitary, first and foremost in importance, my only one, my only begotten Son, used poetically for my life, a piece of my personal life force, God says, as the one unique and priceless possession which can never be replaced. Walked amongst us, Emmanuel, God with us. That's why Jesus Christ is presented in four different ways, four different gospels. First, he's presented as the King of Kings. He gets rejected. That's why there has to be a genealogy in the book of Matthew. Then you go to the book of Mark. No genealogy required. He's the perfect servant. That's who we are. We're serving the whole human family, and we serve God. And we're happy to do it. We're willing to do it. It's sacrificing for each other. We want the whole human family to come back to Father, to be reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can get on with the eternity, to cohabitate with God in his circuits of time. And if you don't want that, God's saying, fine, it hurts me. Isaiah chapter 22, Valley of the Vision. It hurts me that you don't want me. But I can't force you. I will not force you. You can go play somewhere else, and you'll just fade to black in hell. But it'll be torment forever. Just always trying to prove that you're right. Trying to point fingers at others. Just the list is endless about what causes division and pandemonium and distrust and disorder. Just chaos from people's ideologies outside of God's governmental perfection. Priceless possession, which can never be replaced. It's darling in the English, but yakid in the Hebrew. It's such a word. It's such a word. John 5:26, for as such the Father hath life in himself, likewise hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. That's why Luke, the book of Luke, has to have a genealogy, because it's the perfect man. Ethal Adam to the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam. But the book of John does need no genealogy, because he is God. He walked amongst us, like I just said, John 5:26. For as the Father have life in himself, likewise hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Emmanuel, God with us. No genealogy required in the book of John. Chariots of salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, your salvation, your Deliverer, your Redeemer, most precious in the universe. It's just overwhelming to me that he would lay down his life for my life and for your life. And the majority of people just don't care. And that's fine. If people don't care, then you can go play somewhere else. The bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy words, Selah, thought link here. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. Okay, so here's a thought link. Let's solve this. The bow. The bow, we know throughout the Bible, the bow is the power. God's power. It's the bow. The power in the bow, okay, was naked. That means exposed. God's power is exposed. God's not hiding anything. He told us all things. Clear proofs that he exists. Clear proofs. Where did all the water come from for the ice age, Mr. Atheist? And use deductive reasoning here, and always remember, behind all science is mathematics. Now, someone corrected me, because I kept saying, well, all the water where I'm sitting here at the Great Lake Basin, the biggest freshwater basin in the world, there would be a mile of ice. That was the mathematics to gouge out those Great Lakes just recently in the last ice age. And someone corrected me from a scientific place, which I appreciate. Said 2 miles of ice. And we know it was fresh water, because there's no geological evidence that it was not fresh water, because we can tangibly go to the ice caps and the glaciers. It's fresh water. Where did all the water come from? And why did it freeze for hundreds of thousands of years? Enough water to gouge out those Great Lakes, which took 2 miles of ice, solid ice. Why did it freeze? The sun was blocked out. The atmosphere collapsed. That's where all the water came from. It's the only source, our troposphere. No photosynthesis could take place for hundreds of thousands of years. That is God's clear proof. And then 14,000 years ago, it started to recede. As it's written, first page of your Bible. Hardly anybody knows the first page of the Bible. I finally found one other person. Tammy found it. I was just like, it's so disappointing when people get deeply ingrained habits of thought that they can't get over because their ego won't allow it. That's why I get kicked out of Bible studies. I'm like, I'm not going to your Bible study anymore. Okay, I'm getting off subject here. But I have nothing inside of me that gets a feeling of empowerment of trying to prove people wrong. We're all in this together. We're all part of the human family. God wants his children back. All the angels rejoice when one of us repents, because we want to get on with the affairs of time. God wants this construct finished. evil in the world. All the evil in the world comes from the human heart. It's perpetuated by the human heart. It's instigated by Satan himself. And Satan's greatest trick is fooling the whole world into thinking he doesn't exist. God's exposed. He's not hiding anything. He shows us clear proofs. Just look outside. Read your Bible. You can see. Science will never rewrite the Bible. Selah, thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. He scattered us. God scattered this family, Israel, the 10 tribes, to do what? To be rivers to the flow of planting the seeds of truth around the world. So everybody, even someone like me, white trash Mikey right here, has one of these, and so can you. What are you going to do with it? The mountains saw thee, and they were trembling. What do you think? Okay, Rushmore is, there's good. No, the mountains is the nations. God's wrapping up the affairs of time in this flesh age through the Lord Jesus Christ. The angels are the reapers. Matthew chapter 13, 38. And always remember, we stay to the end. If you don't understand 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just get it. I don't want to be condescending. Like Pastor Elmer used to talk like this. And I love that guy, man. He's been gone for 10 years. Can you imagine if you saw the prophecy coming to pass today, the way we get to see? But he says, get a child to read you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We endure to the end. Okay? That's all there is to it. There's no flying out of here. There's no pre-trib, mid-trib, fantasy. Like, you think you're too good to what? Now that I've said it, I have to continue with it. And I didn't want to. But we just talked about this and the big thread that runs through the Bible that we're in tribulation. Now, didn't I just cover that? I already covered that. I've done two videos today, so I can't remember what I talked about. We're in tribulation today, and we all have to get tested to see who you are. The mountains did see us, nation. They trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. Okay, so there's key words here. You'll never figure this out in the English Bible. But we see the key word here, pass by, is the same, it's translated pass by, as in chapter 1. When we saw, then shall his mind change, and he shall... Okay, that was a distortion of the verse, but pass over. And we know, not pass over, but that's just what the word pass over. We have the same word, the same grammatical construct, the barasam in the Hebrew, and it means an overflowing army and all guilt of their offense. That's what we're saying here. The overflowing of the water. It's the same word in the Hebrew. That's what it means. A barasam, an overflowing army and all guilt of their offense. You would never understand that in the English unless you found someone like myself that goes back into the manuscripts through the lexicons, and that's what that means. We're talking about the nations were trembling. The army itself uttered its voice in the deep of it and lifted up its hands. They surrendered. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation, and the light of thine arrows went, and the shining of thy glistening spear. This is the seventh vial, seventh seal, seventh trump. What are we talking about here? Time stands still. No one's going to be sitting there, hey, listen, man, I got things to do here. Can we please get on with this little sideshow here? Oh, it's no sideshow. It's not surreal. It's for real. You're going somewhere when you die. And Psalms chapter 90 tells us how God moves us around. We don't even know what's happening. You're going somewhere when you die. And this is wrapping up the affairs of time on this flesh age right here. Time stands still. And God wants his children back. And he's saying, listen, what are you going? Okay, so I'll just continue here. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. We talk about that threshing floor over and over in the Gospels. This is righteous indignation. Of course, you're going that way, and you're going to be running your mouth, and Jesus Christ is just going to say these are the most dreadful words any human being could ever hear. I don't wish this on my worst enemy. Depart from me, you never took the time to get to know me. What's the grammatical construct leading up to that? Oh, you're in a churchy church and you thought that you were casting out devils and demons and doing great works in my name. Jesus Christ, no, you weren't. You're a sideshow. Okay, you're a churchy church. You did not take the time to get to know me. You did everything except learn this. It's the most important thing. And your preacher or pastor, don't develop an emotional attachment to this guy. You got to think about who he is. What a lush job. to be a pastor today in these fake churches that don't teach the Bible. You know what? This guy's just thinking. Imagine the people sit around at your grade 12 graduation and look around just in your mind, right? Okay, that guy, he's got a certain aptitude. Might look at me like going, Mike, yeah, he's probably going to get hook up with some girl with a hyphenated name, lift a lot of weights and be a bricklayer. Yep, that's me. That was me. Okay, there's a guy over there who was, like, you know, in his books all the time. Oh, he's probably going to be, like, maybe get, you know, a doctor. That guy's going to be, you know, a lawyer. That guy's going to be a janitor, obviously. What about this guy over here? He wasn't involved in sports, really. He kind of, like, wasn't really good academically. You know, what's he going to do for a living? Well, listen, what a lush job for this guy to become a pastor or a preacher or a minister or something when you don't even have to learn one book. You just got to go to a seminary, Satan defiled the seminaries, learn how to be a churchy church guy, and they'll send you the sermons every month or every week, and you just got to read them for 20 minutes. What a lush job. You don't even have to learn one book. And I haven't met someone behind the pulpit yet that can teach me page one of the Bible. And that's the saddest thing. Be careful about who you're supporting. And remember, you have to support God's word. And you get the same rewards as your preacher pastor. Remember, like I say, with Pastor Ronald Murray, there he was, 1997. I'm laying on the couch. I got to look up to CL, you know, 3 a.m. All of a sudden, I hear someone teaching the Bible. I'm just like, I go crazy. I grab a pen. I'm starting to write down what he says. It was a piece of crap TV just plugged into the wall with something like a coat hanger sticking on top. You couldn't really see who it was, but I could hear. And I was writing it down. He was teaching Ezekiel. I was like, who is this guy? And then I went and read the Bible for a year, and then I found him again. Shepherd's Chapel, Pastor Ronald Murray. Who put him on the TV? Not him. His Bible study would have just stayed at his table and gone nowhere unless the many-member body of Christ said, okay, we have to glorify, magnify, and broadcast God's saving word. We have to get the message of Christ's love out there to a hurting world. And what did it take? People had to support Pastor Ronald Murray. And not support him. They're supporting the many-member body of Christ. You get the same rewards. Unless you donate something that you cherish for God's purposes now, you'll be found guilty of coveting. And if you can help out this ministry, even for $10, this is a registered nonprofit. I set it up as a nonprofit so everybody would know all provisions provided go to God's purposes, to help pay for the internet, to help pay for the hydro, to help promote. And I just want more time to study and pray and try and figure out how am I going to articulate and reiterate and broadcast this word to the whole human family. I know this book, man. I know it. I don't, like, what am I taking? I'm giving all my time. I'm sacrificing all my time for people I don't even know. Because that's what God expects from us. He expects us to love each other without knowing each other, the same way you can hate each other without knowing each other. So here we go. It's threshing heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation of thine anointed. That is a huge verse. That verse gives me goosebumps. He went forth for the salvation of thy people. That's why he's coming. He's going to save us. He's going to get us out of here. Whoever's heart is in the right place. If you love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, you submit with an unquestioned obedience willingly. And then he calls us anointed. Hey, I saw that in Psalms 105, I believe. Touch not mine anointed. That's what God thinks. He calls his only begotten son, Messiah. The Christ, that means the anointed one. And then he's calling us anointed. Like, that's a big deal to me. I can see sanctified, like set yourself aside and signal to others that you're man, woman, child of God. But to say here, anointed, touch not mine anointed, Psalms 105. He's coming to get us. These promises are written in the councils of eternity. You go somewhere when you die and God's got it all set up. You have faith. Unadulterated faith and belief that we'll have relief with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we still have 1,000 years to get cleaned up before we can get back to the eternal temple. Thou woundest the head of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the next. Selah. There's a thought link here. Nothing hid that shall not be revealed. No phonies in heaven. You can put a facade on. You ever seen these fake Christians? And we pray for them. We pray for them. They're phonies. They're just too lovely. And lovely people don't like this guy. I can tell you that much. When I walk into a church with this Bible, which I don't anymore, people just stare at it. People just stare, like, what is this? Like every single page got notes. Yeah, I'm here because I want to share my knowledge with you. And this, and then I got kicked out of that church. And they said, you don't have any formal training. The guy was, the pastor was 23 years old. The elder had an IQ of 90. Okay, I felt bad for these people and I prayed for them. No formal training. The wind is forth with salvation. Touch not mine anointed. The wound is the head of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation. What have you built your house on? We're instructed in the book of Proverbs to build your house on wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, and strength. Woe to those who build a house on Satan's construct of progress, profit, consumerism, materialism, global growth, global spending, global investment. These things are a paradox of impossibilities. Just get out there, little Mikey, into the rat race. Well, the rat race sees no humanity in the individual. It makes no sense to me. It never did. I've exited mainstream society, and they say I'm living way below the poverty line, but for some reason I'm happy, and I'm fed, and I got a roof over my head. Yeah, the roof leaks in about 300 places, but if you can help me out, companionchapel.com. Companion Chapel is a registered nonprofit ministry. I set that up so I can keep doing this till my last dying breath, just like Pastor Arnold Murray did. Thou didst strike through with his staves, the heads of the villages. That's these wicked people, Selah. Okay, that's what they did. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. That's God's people. And rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. That's subject as exploitation of humanity. That's what happens when you invest in anything as long as there's a return. All's fair in business. Child labor, labor exploitation, human rights violations, war, genocide. Make this planet a chemical toilet, big pharma. But people sit back with their investment portfolios and just, oh, is this okay? Well, as long as I'm making some profit here for myself, I'm just going to ignore the elephant in the room where that money's coming from. And it's forbidden in the Bible. There's a huge thread in the Bible. It is forbidden to give to the rich for personal gain. Forbidden. And if you've been doing that, it's time for you to give it up for God and support God's word in the here and now, because fate won't negotiate. No matter how big of a star you think you are, you will die at the most inconvenient time, and you cannot repent after you've choked back your last breath. It's all about the here and now. Today is the most important day of your life. This culminates here, the rejoicing. Remember back to Revelation chapter 11, after the two witnesses get snuffed, everybody's having a good time and celebrating. Now, we don't want to hear the truth. The truth's not convenient for us. We want to let our feelings compromise the truth. We don't like this book. We're just going to use this book as a random book of quotes. Those churches in Canada will be allowed to stay open. But this one, they're going to come after me. I know it. I can feel it. And it's in the parliament now. People that will not sugarcoat this word, they're going to get it. Bring it. I don't care. Verse 15, thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, the sea of people, with my mobile power, through the heap of great. This is the foaming. This should have been translated foaming. Foaming waters. There's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. You will meet your maker. Psalms 90 describes how he moves us around. But when you see that word foaming, you have to go to one of my favorites, the crustiest guy in the Bible, my bro, Jude. When he talks about this foaming, talking about people running their mouths, raging waves of the sea. The seas of people, tongues, nations, multitudes, foaming out of their own shame, just running their mouths, wandering stars to his reserve, the blackness of darkness forever. You can go play somewhere else, Jude's saying. He's not holding back. I just love that guy. 25 verses of just knockout Bible power. We pray for everybody. If you can't identify your problem, confront it, and correct it, it's because your ego won't allow you. You're yet letting your feelings compromise your intelligence. Always remember, but there's always the other side too. God protects us. Don't bother trying to reason with a scorner or a scoffer. The mockers are the ambassadors of arrogance. They will hate you. And the Hebrew word for hate here in Proverbs 9:8 is a personal hatred. Reason with a wise man, and he will love you. The art of conversation. I can be corrected over and over. I was the worst one. But God spared me. I think only when I meditate, been brought to life, back to life. Just embarrassing the amount of times by medical intervention. I'm not even going to say it. Why did God spare me? Because I never blamed God. I ask God for some bizarre things. I always have my Bible. This is what saved my life. My grandma giving me that Bible. I don't know where it is. When I was 11 years old, I always knew this is it. This is the most precious gift I've ever had. And then I decided, well, I'm going to get to know this book, and the English argument is pointless. Here we go. Here's God's walking through the heap with his mobile power to people foaming out of their mouths, running their mouths. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. You'll meet your maker, and you're going somewhere when you die, because energy cannot be created or destroyed, and your psyche, your spirit, is a closed energy system. Be careful about the laws of thermodynamics are written in the Bible long before Einstein came up with it. And this new one, entropy information theory, the average level of information that you allow into your psyche, your spirit, the intellect of your soul to allow to meta into your character, to walk amongst your mental disposition, to change your ability to think critically or independently. That's the word meta in the Bible. Here it is. Page 436. Scott Liddell lexicon. Every time I see this preposition coming into or amongst your mental disposition, armed for battle, it's looking for a rank, it's in the midst of, in company with, to change the condition of your mind. That's what meta means, that Greek preposition, that every time I see it in the Bible, I'm going to try, and not every time, that wouldn't even be possible. Be too much time. When I heard, okay, he's wrapping up the affairs of time on this flesh age. Habakkuk is seeing this vision. My belly trembled. I was trembling. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. That's the army of Sabaoth. Heathens already surrendered back in verse 10. Okay, what can they do? Compare Zechariah's version of this at the seventh vial, seventh seal, seventh trump. And then verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit tree be in vines, the labor of the oil shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Why? Because we're at the seventh vial, seventh seal, seventh trump. We're out of the flesh now, right? And go to Revelation chapter 7. Like, who cares? We're in our spiritual body. It's an energy. Energy cannot be created or destroyed, but can it, through entropy information theory, it can be distorted and corrupted. Be careful. God won't accept a corrupted energy. Thou shalt hunger no more. That's what's being said here by Habakkuk, Revelation chapter 7. This is reiterated Isaiah chapter 25 and Revelation chapter 21. My favorite verse in the Bible. I can't wait. We shall thirst no more, neither shall the sun light on them any more heat. We're not going to be out there laboring anymore. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters. We just went there. That's our flow of activity towards the Lord Jesus Christ and our eternal temple, the eternity. It's a busy place. It's a place of activity. And God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes. I can't wait. I just can't wait. Everyone else that wants to run their mouth can go play somewhere else. You've exhausted your caregiver. We're praying for you constantly. In the here and now, we pray for our enemies. Let go of that construct, those ideologies that are going to land you in the hell side. You don't want to end up there. Okay, so that's seventh vial, seventh seal, seventh trump. Finishing up the affairs of time on this just brutal flesh age. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will in the God of my salvation. Of course, we're going to be happy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon the high places. Yeah, we're tripping around in the kingdom of heaven. First, we have to go to the Millennium Temple to get cleaned up for a while. Now this last sentence is actually two words. Somebody forced this in here to try and force this into one of the Psalms to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. It's Natash Nikina. It's not a subscription. And I think I lost my note, what it means. I forgot. I don't remember where I put my note. But it just means, that's a terrible way to finish up the book of, I have it right here. Okay. Almost forgot. Okay, but the student misses a subject and divine message being conveyed when a translator scribe tries to pigeonhole a phrase somewhere it doesn't belong on its grammatical attributes only, as opposed to following the subject and the message being conveyed. Where's my note? Come on. Here it is. Here's my note. Okay. Natas be perpetual, preeminent, greatest. God conquered evil, the great separation of people. This verse, or these two words, form the perfect eschatological phrase, death, judgment, and your final destiny of the soul. And Nagina means the song. Our victory song, Revelation chapter 15. Well, I'm glad I found those notes. I want to thank you very much for watching. Have yourself the greatest day. We're doing the book of Romans next. You don't want to miss that. And bye for now.